This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician. Jimmy hit Austin. My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
Get back to where I came from, back to where I started, back to where I wanna be. All I wanna do is get back to something familiar, to a place I know.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It's your friend Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast. That time of the week, folks. To all of our friends at philpritchett.com listening, and to all of our friends at radiofreetexas.org, welcome. Email us here, phil@philpritchett.com, or call us 817-733-5256. Book Phil Pritchett and the full band for your next function. Come record at Trinidad World Recording Studios, my studio here in Fort Worth, where we record, well, where we record the podcast. Let us know what you think, what you'd like to hear discussed here on the podcast. Well, this week we are going to sit with one of my favorite new guys out there. I did a record here recently. Zach Huckabee from Land Passes, Texas is here. How you doing, Zach?
Good, Philip. How are you?
Very good. Thank you very much. Joining us here today to talk some music, some issues confronting maybe the young musician. Zach, 23, starting out and made a couple records. You know, you got the usual obstacles out there. The clubs don't know who I am. I can't get on radio, that kind of thing. But it's always been like that. But what maybe some issues are that might be unique in this day and age where music is free online. There's no more big blockbuster record deals and all that kind of thing. We'll talk some about that. We're also going to talk some about live shows. Why do people go to live shows? Sounds like a stupid question, but Zach and I have some interesting perspective that we just talked about at lunch.
Yes.
We're going to bring to the podcast here. In our final segment, we're going to take a look at a record that gets referred to quite often, and for good reason.
It's a great record.
Great record, of course. Heartbreaker by Ryan Adams. Certainly one that a lot of the younger guys have really jumped onto, a guy that is a songwriter, makes good records, records a lot of different stuff. But certainly Heartbreaker was a breakout kind of thing for him, filled with just great songs. And we're going to talk about that great album on What's on P2's iPod a little bit later on. But here at the top, Zach Huckabee, we're talking about, let me just set the stage here a little bit. Now, when I started playing music in the early 90s, got out of college, of course you love playing music, right?
Right.
You want to get on stage with your guitar. You want to be known for your own songs. I wanted whoever my contemporaries might have been, David Garza, Jack Ingram, I don't know, guys who maybe else were also out there. I said, man, I just want them to think I'm good. I want to be able to get an audience. But, man, also way off in the distance there, it was possible. There were bands like Hootie and the Blowfish or, guys did go sell 15 million albums. Bands, guys I knew, did get signed to record deals, man, and get a $250,000 advance, you know, and sell CDs hand over fist. Indeed, when I put out my first CD, Phil World in 1996, I had a small distribution deal just in Texas with Crystal Clear. Man, they we sold a lot of CDs, you know. I mean, not a lot for, a major label, but, you know, you start talking about, you know, this number times seven or whatever you're getting per record. You start going, man, you know, that starts to be pretty nice for a guy. As I've said before, I remember thinking, man, just think when I have like 12 albums, just how big these checks are going to be every quarter, you know, or every month. Not knowing, of course, that it would all be free in the end. And so my question, and I don't even know what the answer to this is, but I'm just going to kind of throw it to Zach here and to a lot of these guys, because I know a lot of guys listening to the show are in bands themselves that write songs and record, play shows. You know, you as a 23-year-old guy who also loves Dylan and Ryan Adams. And,
yeah.
I didn't get into it because I thought I'd sell tens of millions of albums, but that was a possibility. There was some hope. When your parents or someone else said, man, why are you wasting your time? Or, you know, yeah. Why are you pursuing this? Let us understand. You say, well, it's fun. It's a good living. I think I can make a living. And hey, look at this guy. He really did well. You could at least point to somebody.
Sure.
But you as a 23-year-old guy, that's less true. There are some out there. But, man, it is exponentially less true for someone your age to be looking up at dudes signing big record deals and doing great. So what do you look at, maybe is kind of the end game, beyond, well, I love to do it, and it's a living. Yeah. Beyond that, what keeps you going?
Well, man, I definitely don't, stare at posters of, like, Kenny Chesney or anything like that when I'm thinking about, you know, my music career.
That's
you know?
Refreshing to know.
You know, really, the thing that I really think about is, man, can I do this for a living? First of all, like,
right.
can I support my wife, you know, and one day, you know, I don't have, you know, kids or anything, but like when I have kids, like, will I be able to support them?
Right.
And, you know, can I stay kind of true to what I'm doing? You know,
right. Stay true, stay solvent, you
yeah.
know.
The cool thing about when you started was that there wasn't 6 million other guys doing the same thing.
That's
you know?
That's probably right.
And
that's probably right.
You know, and I've listened to that stuff from back when you put out the first record and Jack Ingram's old stuff. And there was just a handful of you. Really, Pat Green didn't get along until after you
later
guys
90s.
Started.
Probably
later,
right.
later
that's
90s.
Probably
and,
right.
You know, and so I listened to the Pat Green stuff and Jack Ingram. And really, at the beginning, it was you and Jack and Pat Green, Corey Morrow, and Cross Canadian Ragweed. You know,
yeah, those
there were some others,
but yeah, those are probably
but
some.
But really,
some
the
guys,
bigger
yeah.
ones. You know, you
right.
didn't have. Of course, you had Robert O'Keen too, but you know, you didn't have.
Well, he was much older than all of us.
Right, so. You didn't have Wade Bowen, Randy Rogers, Bart Crowe, Josh Abbott, Kyle Bennett. You know, you wouldn't be able to list them off the top of your head. Right now, you could name a hundred. Right
I
now,
really,
I could name
really
a hundred.
Really
yeah. yeah. And so when you look at challenges, that's a challenge.
That is. That is a big challenge. You know, I had a guy in here from College Station, and he was really into music, and we were talking about music. Cameron Gott, he's listening out there. Cameron, how's it going? He's been in the studio. Yeah, man, I kind of thought, man, who's some good bands in College Station down there? And he'd heard of you guys. He goes, oh, yeah, man, he's cool. And man, then he proceeded to rattle off. And I feel like I play gigs all the time. Yeah. I record bands all the time. Do the podcast. I feel like I'm somewhat connected. And dude, he named bands. I mean, and I'd heard of a lot of them,
yeah.
but I didn't know their music. Man, he must have named 30 bands
yeah.
that he thought showed a lot of potential.
Sure.
And drew pretty good at Fitzwillie's.
Sure.
Because, man, you ever heard of the Something Something Band and the Dave Smith Band and this band? And, man, they're kind of a Grateful Dead meets Robert O'Keen thing. You've never heard of those guys? Oh, man. And, dude, he went down the list. I couldn't believe
yeah.
it. I was just like, dude, how many? I said, all these guys have. Now, some of them he said nobody goes to see. Or
right.
they're just starting out.
Right.
And some of them really pack it in.
Yeah.
He named a few that really packed it in. And, you know, it is staggering, man. I think that'd be very, very daunting. Talk about a challenge. That's probably your biggest challenge.
That's a big challenge, but, you know.
I mean, it's always been a challenge to get noticed, you
yeah.
know, and to be, I think what's weird, though, is back when I was in the mid-90s, to quote-unquote get noticed, you wanted to get on radio, you wanted to be noticed, quote-unquote, by a major label
yeah.
or something. That's where you wanted your recognition to come from, because that validated you. That set you apart from the other guys
yeah.
Who were just selling shoes and working a day job
right.
for their dad or something like that. You go, man, you know, we got a deal, a small record deal. We got a little publishing deal, or we get radio play. That was the kind of recognition. I do see less of that. I mean, that's still a big part of it. It seems less, though. You just want to have an audience. You
sure.
really don't. I mean, it doesn't, you know, matter. Well, I mean, you don't look at that as
no,
much, do you?
The big-time record labels, I definitely don't look at as a – I mean, I'm sure it's a possibility. I mean, anything's possible. But, you know, really, I just kind of look at the longevity. You know, can I make this last? Can I make records? Can I build a fan base that actually I'll have people listen to my music? Yes, for, like, radio. I mean, you know, we get our stuff played on the radio. But, I mean, you know
– It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, you know? I mean, you know, that draws your fans to the shows and the whole nine yards. But,
sure.
You know, I think about it, and I think, you know, I'm just really lucky to be blessed with the gift that I can play music and I can write and that kind of thing. And I was actually watching something yesterday, and you're going to make fun of me, but your kids,
oh, come on.
Your kids will love me.
Come on.
I was watching the Miley Cyrus Hannah Montana thing on HBO yesterday. And it's amazing, like, what they do. Like, those tours bring in bukus of money.
Oh, yeah, no question.
I mean, bukus of money. And I thought, man, I wonder if Miley Cyrus, Hannah Montana, whatever, asked me to play guitar for them, would I do it?
Yeah.
The answer is, yeah, I probably would.
For a while. For a while, you probably would.
For a while. Heck yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're all musicians at heart. It's all, I mean, it's just like a stockbroker or whatever. You're not going to be a stockbroker for free.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And you know, you're not going to be a stockbroker for free.
Well, you have a trade.
Sure.
You have a trade, and you might like to design custom homes and a cool thing. But some dude might bring you in to build some McMansions, you know, just cookie cutter houses, and say, "Hey, man, we'll pay you three times what you're making now."
Right.
You don't want to put the sink. You don't let, put our cheap sink faucets in these houses. You kind of say, "Well, I mean, it's kind of like the great Spencer Starnes, producer in Austin, that I got to work with on a couple projects. I own the studio down there." The last smoke-filled studio, not a non. Everyone's like, "Oh, non-smoking studio," you know.
Yeah.
He smoked the whole time. It's ashes all over the board. And, he had like, you know, David Grissom and Stephen Bruton and, you know, Junior Brown's bass player coming to play on this kid's album.
Sure.
And I was like, what the heck? Why would these guys play on this thing? And he goes, what do you mean? He said, man, they're musicians, man. I'm like, well, so? He goes, so if you pay them, they're going to show up,
that's
you know?
Right.
And that's just a mantra I've never forgotten, you know?
Sure.
And it always pays to you know, when someone says, hey, man, would this guy play on my album, play drums or something?
Yeah.
You can say, well, we can ask him, you know, and say, hey, we got a couple $100. You want to come do it or not? And you'll be surprised. That probably 9 times out of 10, if they got nothing going on or in town, they'll say, man, heck yeah, I'll come play drums on that guy's 5 songs or whatever.
As much as we're artists, you know, and I like to think of myself as an artist, you know, singer, songwriter, guitar player, whatever. But, you know, we're nothing more than glorified carnies. I mean,
well, that's right.
Really, you know,
that's right.
I mean,
you've got to survive.
Yeah.
Everyone says, man, I'll work hard for it. But that'll grind you into the ground. And I've been there to where the van is totally done. All my amps and guitars don't work. My strength is gone. I've played all these gigs, given it all I had, just like I said I would. But that's not the trick, man, just to go out and kill yourself.
Right.
You've got to find to be solvent, to be able to pay your mortgage and what, man, you've got to, instead of working for it, you got to find a way to make it work for you.
Absolutely.
You have to. And that's the trick. And it's different for everybody.
Yeah.
For everybody. You know, someone might stumble upon, man, we did this thing on a website. It brings in some money. That's cool. Or, man, we kind of morphed into this wedding band. We got hired for a couple things. We learned a few more songs.
Sure.
You kind of follow the success, you know, and it can be anything.
The key
you
got to
be adaptable, though, I think, to be a working musician.
The key to having, I mean, just a really, like, maybe a working band is that, I mean, what I've found, and, I mean, I know all you guys listening probably think, hey, this guy's 23 years old, and he doesn't know what he's talking about. But I've been doing this since I was, like, 15.
Right,
so,
right.
Like, I've got a couple miles logged. I mean, the thing is, if you don't have any money, to get this thing off the ground,
right.
You know, which is really difficult to do in the first place. That's
always a big obstacle.
That's always a big obstacle. But if you don't have any money, have the tightest possible band that you can have.
Right,
okay?
Right.
And I'm talking about if there's 3 pieces, if there's 5 pieces, there's 12 pieces in the band, which my buddy John plays for T-Bird and the Breaks out of Austin. It's like a funk soul band. And they got like 12 people in there.
Mm-hmm.
But have the tightest band that you can, have the best musicians that you can for what you can afford.
Sure.
And really throw yourself out there and do the best job you possibly can. And you're going to get fans.
Right, right, right.
And then hopefully it'll raise enough money to do, you know, a record.
Well, it is different. And I do think guys need to be honest with themselves, because I've had guys in here like yourself who just want to man, who want to make a go of it, who want to make a living, who want to see what they can get out of this thing, and just want to be able to do it full time. That was the big badge, even when I started. It's just like, man, if you can say it's your only job, man, I don't have a job, man, I play music. That was a huge badge of honor, man. That really meant that you were doing something right. So that's still out there. So to do that realistically, you've got to want to be a journeyman, you know, a working musician.
Absolutely.
And the thing is, a lot of guys just want to be stars.
Yeah.
They want to. They say, "Well, man, if this thing doesn't work, I got to go back to my real job."
Right.
And you kind of go, "What do you mean work? Work like you can make a little living, or you have a top 10 hit? Like what? Right. What's the definition of making it work?" And that's kind of where the line gets drawn. My definition of making it work is, hey, I can get 4 or 5 gigs a week or a month that can pay my bills, that can keep me going. That's making it work. Or is making it work, if this single doesn't go in the top 10 and we can't break even, it's all for naught and I got to quit.
Right.
So it kind of comes into what your expectations are.
Yeah.
I always found the best way to keep it going when I'm producing someone's record or playing a gig, enter everything in just a totally unassuming fashion. Just say, man, we're going to get in there. We're going to give it our best. We're not going to spend too much time on it. We're not going to spend too much money on it. But you know what? We're going to put all of our heart and soul into it. It's going to be all heart, our performance, our recording, and we'll just take what it gives us. You know. And I think with that attitude, you can keep the boat going.
That's right.
You can stay afloat in the sea. Whereas if it's all or nothing, you know, it's we either win the lottery or we don't. You know, you're not going to be a journeyman. You know?
Sure.
You're not going to be in the game.
You definitely can't go into this business thinking that, oh man, you know, hey, I'm going to make $1 million.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's probably, you know, it's nice to think that, and it's nice to fantasize about all that, but realistically, you know, I mean, I've been completely blessed with the money I bring in or whatever.
Sure.
You got to have a love for music, and if it's something that you just picked up in college, which a lot of people, you know, do really well. Mm-hmm. But if it's something like that, man, and you just, you know, you could live without it.
Yeah.
You could live without a day of music. You could you could not listen to vinyl, or you don't care anything about the 70s music or any other kind of music.
Yeah.
Then
the history of it
probably
not
ain't
too
for
intriguing.
You, man.
It's probably not for you. Because there's easier ways to go be a star.
Yeah.
Get on some reality show or something.
Sure.
I mean, you could than playing music. Dude,
sure.
that's a long...
It does. It does work, though. I mean, if you're out there and you put yourself out there and you're playing guitar and you're dressed right and you look good, you're gonna pick up the chicks. It's gonna happen.
You can.
But you know, if
there's a lot of guys trying to do that, for every guy that's doing that successfully, there's a lot of guys trying to do that.
Right. If
just that's
by what
looking good, and drinking a lot of beer, and trying to cheerlead the crowd, and they can't do it. So. But yeah, and I think that, you know, whereas it is difficult because there's a lot of bands, and there's maybe not a lot of dollar signs at the end of the rainbow, so to speak, like maybe there was in the 90s. It is encouraging because there are more examples out there online, and all different kinds of success stories of, you know, some guy that gets 1,000 downloads off of iTunes a month, and some guy that just travels with his guitar and plays house concerts, and some dude that built this festival out of nowhere. Like, it's not all the same story.
Yeah.
They're in the top 10 on the Billboard, so they made money.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different types of music business success stories out there of guys, you know, and they're all different.
Yeah.
You're like, if someone says, man, this guy's really cool, you kind of say, what's their story? I mean, the story's always different. It's not just, what do you mean, what's the story, man? You got an agent, got a booking agent, got a record deal, had a hit.
Right.
That's not the story anymore. There's guys who, man, this dude, it's the weirdest thing, man. He was in this band. We've talked about guys like Martin Sexton before, and Josh Freese, the old Nine Inch Nails guy who gave away all those crazy deals in L.A. with there's all kinds of – so you got to kind of – I think it is a good time for guys who are willing to work – willing to stay in when the going gets tough, just keep plugging away.
Yeah.
And then always be looking for innovative ways to get yourself out there and staying true to yourself. You know, there's ample opportunity out there to go make enough sooner.
Yeah.
And to keep going.
And all that stuff is important, but the number one thing is, man, if you're going to do this, have some common sense. You know, I mean, like, I meet so many guys out there, man, and, you know, I don't know, I'm not going to name any names.
Like, head in the clouds kind of hopes and dreams?
Well,
or,
yeah, no, not even that, you know, I mean, they're plugging away, they're playing shows or whatever, but, you know, they're high, you know?
Yeah.
Or they're extremely drunk before they go on stage, or something like that. And or, you know, they're always buying like brand new gear, like the latest thing or
something like that,
man. You know what I play out of, man? Get the best tone. I've got this PV amp. Okay.
Yeah.
It's tube. It was all like I had it all hand wired, redone. So all it is just a PV speaker with American parts in it.
Sure.
It's got volume and tone.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Those are two knobs, and that's it, man. And I plug it through a, you know, a blues driver or whatever, and there we go. We're on the road. You know, you don't have to have the expensive pedals. You don't have to have tube preamps everywhere, you know, miking up your guitar or whatever.
That's right.
You know, just like what you always say, man, keep the overhead low. I mean, you know, you got to be smart about it. If you're out there blowing your money on the brand, you know, brand new things or spending your money on $25,000 records.
It'll sink you quick.
It'll sink you, man. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, man, those are some of the challenges facing the young bands out there, the young artist, the young songwriter. Man, if you think, hey, dude, I just want to make a living, grow my base, service the core, and stay true to myself, let me tell you what, man, there's more opportunity than ever. In fact, you can do that tomorrow. Quit your job and do it. There's enough people out there. Just go find them.
You heard it from Phil.
That's
your job.
Well, you know, it might not be huge, but... You can make it work, you know? You can
Absolutely.
Make it work. Well, coming up in our next segment, we're going to talk a little bit about the live show itself. I had some hot music opinions over lunch. I got some odd looks from Zach and some odd looks from my friend John Reynolds, who joined us for lunch at the Mexican food place across the street. I'll fill you in on what we're talking about at lunch. See if you agree or disagree, if you are encouraged or outraged. But it's how I see it. We'll talk about the live show in our next segment in just a minute.
All I want to do is get back to what I do best, back to what I'm good at, back to what I know. All I want to do is get back in the tall grass.
Fans, Romans, country, lend me your ears. It's Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, sitting here with my friend Zach Huckabee talking about music, all things indie music, Texas, surviving, being solvent on the road. Do you want to be a musician or do you want to be a star? Make up your freaking mind, man. Your life depends on it. Email us, Phil at philpritchett.com. Call us at 817-733-5256. Tell us what you'd like to hear discussed on the podcast. Come record at Trinidad World Recording or book Phil Pritchett and the full band. Or go to ZachHuckabee.com. Book Zach Huckabee, man.
Yeah, book Zach Huckabee.
He might be a little cheaper than me. I don't know. you ride pretty high, man. Maybe you've outpriced me.
I ride pretty high, man. Got the 2008 Ford F-350,
man. He's got the nice van. Oh, my goodness.
12 passenger.
Well, man, we're talking about surviving. Zach, 23 years old. Quick to point out, he's a newbie in this deal by all intents and purposes.
Sure.
But he's been doing it since he's about 15, man, playing a lot. He's made a couple records, including his most recent one here. Was It You? Be out here in late July 31st, man. So go look for that. Probably being played heavily on RadioFreeTexas.org.
Yes.
Some great stuff on there, man, that we did here at Trinidad World Recording. Well, what else, man? We were talking, went to lunch over here, and we're talking about live shows. And you look at the bands who just do bukus of live business throughout the era. But we're talking about, you know, more recent bands. Now, I'm not talking about dinosaur acts like Fleetwood Mac or Paul McCartney that just their songs are just ubiquitous anthems that everyone knows the words to. I'm not talking
ubiquitous.
About that. There's the word. We got to use it once every podcast. Ubiquitous. Why people go to live shows? Now, this seems like a stupid question, but in the old days, going to see live music was a bargain. Our friend Bob Lefsetz talks about it all the time. He said, man, he'd go to like four or five concerts a month.
Sure.
You know, just for like $5, he'd go to the Fillmore to see the Allman Brothers. Who's tomorrow night? Oh, Santana. Oh, well, shit, I'll come back again. So he comes back again, and you just saw live music, man. You just it was a cheap night out. In Austin, man, we used to go see Soul Hat, Ian Moore, and Bob Schneider's old band, the Ugly Americans, at the Black Cat Lounge on 6th Street. It was like on Thursday nights, it was like $2 to get in, $1 Pabst Blue Ribbon, and free hot dogs. And it was just packed. You know, I mean, live music was the live music capital of the world.
PBR,
Austin.
PBR, man.
Early 90s. It was a cheap thing. Now, it's just, you know, Springsteen's putting tickets on sale. Or Celine, or he's a little cheaper, but like, you know, Celine Dion or someone. They say, hey, they're going on sale a year from now. And you have to buy permission to buy that ticket for like $100. There, I mean, you gotta just plan your freaking, you gotta mortgage your life to go to these shows.
Yeah.
It's just insanity.
No, but, I thought it was a bargain. We just picked up tickets for Dylan, Willie Nelson, and
Mellencamp. Oh, you're going to that? Oh, that's right.
Yeah, $65.
$65, yeah. That's a fair deal.
General admission.
John Mellencamp, Willie Nelson, Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
Playing all the minor league ballparks this summer. In August, they're playing Corpus and...
And Round Rock.
And Round Rock,
and I'm going to both of them. So if you go to those shows...
Look for Zach Huckabee, man. Yeah. Down close.
I'll have
screaming,
I'll have a hat on.
Tangled up in blue. Bob.
Uncle Bob.
Well, the issue at hand was, I said, you know, because we play a lot of shows where we do quite well, lucky enough, quite well for us is I don't know, you know, a decent sized club with a couple hundred people, something in there, you know, on a good night or fair night. We get some festivals and things. It varies, but, you wonder why people come to these shows. Some band that you perceive as being kind of, God, what do these guys got? But, and it's just slam packed. Yeah. Kurt South always makes the joke that if you have a bunch of drunk young women at your show, you're going to do pretty well. And it begs the question. I said, man, it seems like in very general terms, you get the bands. If the bands have the big party, the big scene, you say, man, we're going to see this band because there's going to be booze. There's going to be music. There's going to be women. There's going to be, man, it's just, this is where everybody's going. I'm not the biggest fan of the band, but I know that one or two songs.
Sure.
So I'm going to pay my $15 and get in there and rock out, man. You know, no different than going like Bonnaroo or something. Sure, you like the bands and stuff. Man, there's a big scene out there, man.
Sure.
There's all sorts of funny stuff changing hands out there. You know, it's just, no, you know, Woodstock, whatever, going all the way back. The live experience, man, is wild. It's free. And that's the big party, man. Kenny Chesney, Jimmy Buffett, George Strait, man. I mean, he came and sold out the new Cowboy Stadium. It's just boots and beer and good times. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
That's right.
That's the things we stay alive Zach. Am I right or am I wrong?
You're exactly right. You know,
and the other thing is, just to complete my point, and I'll hear you, is if you don't have that, man, I'm not some big party guy. Well, you better have musical virtuosity. A Van Cliburn pianist. I went and saw Derek Trucks, the great slide guitar player for the Allman Brothers and Derek Trucks band. Went and saw him at the Granada. Not just some, you know, party fest.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just guitar virtuosity on display for 2 hours.
So a bunch of mellow guys.
So it begs the question, and I would put myself in the category of neither one of those, but I'm telling you what, man, it's troubling. It's troubling for someone like myself, because I do see guys very mindful of, hey, man, we want to make something people like, something fun, something upbeat, something radio will play, something people are going to go out, grab a beer, grab the girlfriend, hell yeah, we're going, that's it, that's the party, that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Then the other guy is just Eric Johnson or, you know, Derek Trucks or somebody, virtuoso guitar playing.
Yeah.
But if you kind of say, hey, man, I'm not the world's best guitar player, and hey, I'm not some just party, just yeehaw cheerleader guy on stage, where does that leave maybe I put myself in that category, and you just, it's going to be hard to draw massive throngs of people. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, you're exactly right. Like we're talking about later on, Mr. Ryan Adams, you know, Ryan Adams doesn't really have the party songs, you know.
Well, he's a guy that guys like us look to.
Yeah,
it's kind of like, well, man, he's not just Super Joe party guy.
Sure.
And he's not, you know, Eddie Van Halen guitar player, but he's just got good stuff. That's a hard target to hit, man. There's just not many like that in that category.
I believe the guy who's kind of transcended that, who kind of stepped out of that was, I think Jack was in that position for a while. Jack Ingram, of course, was in the position of, hey, you know, I'm not this monster party guy, but I'm also not this guitar virtuoso guy, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, he signed with the whole Big Machine thing, and then he started doing more poppy party stuff, and that's really elevated his star status. Man, people like to party, and that's
why
they
go
out.
Well, it's kind of the old joke is like, hey man, where are the moms and dads who go to church? What bar are they partying in tonight? You're like, dude, they don't go to these places.
Yeah, that's right.
You know? Or whatever your scene is. Yeah, that Green Hall, man. You can feel it, man, if you're gonna get there and really give everybody a good time, and that's part of the music.
Yeah.
But yeah, for someone like maybe Ryan Adams or something, they're and Dylan, of course, he's been around forever. He was never just maybe Joe Party. He was never known for having just.
Yeah.
He didn't have big sing-alongs at his shows.
But his, you know, but his live act was very, very appealing. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it was very. I mean, I think he spoke of it earlier in another podcast. But like when he did like the live at Royal Albert Hall and stuff,
yeah.
Like he was really joking. He was funny. He was intriguing to people. So they came out and they watched him. They liked
That's
his
right.
songs.
That's right.
They
sure.
couldn't sing along to him, but uh-huh. they liked his songs and they liked watching him perform because he was just a stunning performer.
They liked him.
They liked him.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. But you know, now I mean, there's some guys out there who are doing some music that's you know, I mean, it's just party music, you know.
And sure.
It's not necessarily something that I would listen to,
mm-hmm.
But they're making money.
That's okay? right.
And if this is supposed to be the beacon in the storm, this our podcast here, you know, if you want to make money. That's how you do it. I mean, you write songs that people can sing along to. It's got a catchy chorus. People can sing along to it.
That sounds so simple. So why don't you do that? Why don't I do that?
Well, you know, the thing is, man, is I am such a big Bob Dylan fan. I am such a big Ryan Adams fan.
And God, that just screws us,
if
man.
If you don't understand what I'm talking about, listen to some of their music.
Right.
If you like kind of those party bands.
If you're tired of playing for massive crowds.
Yeah, yeah. If you like those party bands and you're a fan and you don't know what I'm talking about, just listen to their music and you'll see exactly that they don't sing party music. They don't sing, hey, let's go get drunk or high or something like that. And they're really just kind of focused on the art of songwriting. And you watch those guys and you'll completely see why they're not having like the huge, huge breakthrough success. I mean, they already have, but you know, when you see guys trying to imitate that kind of formula a little bit,
yeah.
then you'll kind of see why that, you know, they don't really get that kind of deal. But the thing that we try to do on like our live shows that transcends that is, you know, we try to up the ante a little bit, do some smoke and mirror stuff, jump out there, do guitar stuff, you know,
well,
try to get people
the,
involved. You
that's
know?
Kind of the X factor. You know, an interesting band that came up in this discussion because I had the same discussion with somebody. Someone mentioned U2. Now they're kind of a classic rock act with the
sure.
ubiquitous songs, no question. But not really a virtuoso type musician band.
Mm-mm.
Certainly a unique sound with the Edge. I mean, as a collective group, they've
yeah.
got their sound. I mean, that's U2. And not rah rah. How's everybody doing tonight?
Yeah.
But eschew a sense of passion and a sense of purpose.
Right.
And man, the word again, I'll keep using heart with capital H.
Sure.
They're all heart. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And maybe that's sort of that's the hope I keep.
Yeah.
My opening statement made it sound like, well, Phil, are you going to quit? You know, you're not the party guy and you're not the virtuoso musician. You do see that. I think, and that's kind of my point of this segment is you've got to have the heart, man. You've got to make people believe in what you're doing.
Yeah.
And that comes from what you're talking about, man, playing the solos, getting out there. You know, without being like, I'm not saying you got to ham up the
right,
show, but
right.
but man, showing some range,
yeah.
showing a willingness to veer off the track and
yeah.
do a solo or switch instruments with your band guys,
yeah.
something that's entertaining,
right? Right.
And that's maybe not serious all the time, but I mean, we were always kind of a serious, intense band, but by recent standards, but man, early on we had a bunch of drinking songs. I mean,
yeah.
I came up out of college like everybody else. I had some drinking songs and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and you know, a lot of our onstage stuff where I did the machine gun and
yeah.
I just was goofing around one night
yeah.
and I was like, man, that's really great, you know, and it ends up kind of getting in the act. It's that willingness to try stuff and to be showy, like you
sure.
were saying in the last
well,
podcast.
I mean, we're not,
you got to put on a show. You know?
Yeah, we're not wearing sequins out there or anything. I mean, we're not
right,
we're
right.
not bedazzling our guitar straps or anything. But you know, I mean, you just go out there and you make do with what you got. You know, I mean, you're only issued one body, you know, one face or
that's
whatever.
Right.
You make
yeah,
it
yeah.
as nice as possible, and you
right.
go out there. It's the same thing with the music. I mean, you know, the music that comes to you is what comes to you, and you try to jazz it up as much as possible.
Yeah, no doubt.
And a lot of our stuff is kind of, you know, lamenty type. I mean, someone said that they really liked one of my songs. And I was like, which one is it about? Heartbreak or divorce?
Yeah.
And, you know, or death.
That's
and,
right.
You know, but we try to put, you know, kind of neat, catchy choruses on it and stuff just to make it, you know, so that people can sing along at a show.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
they
right.
can say,
that's
hey,
right.
I'm going to sing along the chorus. I don't really know what the song says, but, mm-hmm. you know, and that's what it's all about. As
right.
long as they can sing along with a chorus and as long as they have something that they can kind of tap their feet to and it's not like incredibly slow or boring, then they'll
right.
listen to it.
Right.
Just like on the new record that you mm-hmm. did, one of the least listened to songs, one of my favorite songs called Airport, and it's just kind of this really kind of slow kind of, you know, shuffle type thing. And,
yeah.
and you know, people are like, yeah, I don't know.
Without a ticket or a pass.
Yeah, I like that song all right, yeah. but it's really sad, so I'll skip through it next time. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. well, you know, whatever you like. I don't care. As long as you buy the record, it doesn't bother
that's right,
me at
yeah.
all. So.
That's fun.
But yeah, man, it's all about the party. People, especially now in the hard economic times, you know, I had read this thing one time in London,
uh-huh.
like in the turn of the century, if people had a penny, they would spend it on beer.
Yeah,
you know?
Oh, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And that's the
that
same thing that goes here, you know? I mean,
I think that's probably true.
Yeah, people are out of work. They'll go to a club. They'll spend $5 for a beer or two, you know, so that you can kind of, you know,
well, again,
get
you know, we talked about how it benefited you as a musician that if you were good and willing to work, you can separate yourself. And I think that is, I think it will be, I think we're in for kind of a boom of some different kinds of things.
Sure.
Because there are a lot of ways to be successful, quote unquote, in the music business that doesn't require the same old paths. And you will see some guys who try some bizarre stuff, either musically or marketing or both, mm-hmm. that have success and that is eye-opening. And they're not getting into it, you know, wanting to be Kenny Chesney. You're kind
right.
of, that, everybody's kind of...
Yeah,
especially
that
young people,
sailed,
that ship has sailed.
Yeah.
I mean, that's from a bygone era, really. And so that'll keep those guys out of it. Some dude that just says, man, I can hardly play, hardly sing. I don't know much about music. I still want to be successful. We'd say, man, what, to do that, man, you'd have to have a major label, kind of like an old late 90s business model, which is tougher to come by. So I think we are due to see, and in my opinion, I think you're already seeing it maybe, just like we talked about a lot of the bands Cameron was talking about. That I don't know, but there's so many of them. It's just kind of a numbers game. You're like, man, some of these guys are going to be innovative and are going to try some things, and it's going to resonate. And one of them, I've always said the next musician you see on the cover of Time magazine, it was like music's dead and there's no big sellers anymore. The first next musician you see on Time magazine is going to be some 18-year-old kid or something who had 3 billion downloads off of his website in a 24-hour period.
Right.
Like, do you know this kid? Like, no, who the heck's that? And, that's Jeremy from, you know...
Eating Mice.
Yeah.
He's got this song
from,
out.
From, you know, some little town in Indiana. Well, what did he do?
Yeah.
Man, he had a lot of people on his MySpace and Twitter he kept up with. He wrote silly songs in his bedroom.
Yeah.
And he posted an album of 10 of them and had... You know, 3 billion downloads.
Yeah, and sold each record for a buck.
In a week.
Yeah.
And sold each record for a dollar.
Yeah, yeah.
And you just go, man, he's got $3 billion in his checking account? What? You know, and it's just going to be something mind-blowing.
Sure.
Because that ability is out there.
Yeah.
The atomic bomb is being built as we speak for that to happen. Now, the labels won't be able to cash in on it because they're not going to be able to sell the records cheap enough. They're not going to be able to produce the albums cheap enough.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's kind of the hope, man, I think for you and me and anybody in music and kind of keeping a hand on kind of what the new technologies kind of things are. It for a while it didn't pay to veer off the path, man. If you veer off the path, you're not going to be on MTV. You're not going to get signed by a label. You got to play the game. And
now nobody's
on
MTV.
I really think some guy's going to prove that we're hitting a little era here where being innovative, thinking outside the box, is going to pay. Because it's unique, and so that might open a lot of doors for some cool stuff to happen.
But what I think is I think that the music model's shifting already, because you got people like Ryan Bingham who are selling just a ton of records. You know,
is he really though?
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when
I know he's won awards. Always hard to tell.
When
how
his
many.
New record dropped for the first week, it was the top selling record on Amazon.com.
Yeah.
So if you're gonna, that's a lot of records.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know what the number is,
I
mean, they're doing well.
Yeah.
Know?
Well,
and
sure,
so,
absolutely. Yeah.
So you know, I think that maybe there's a shift from, you know, maybe people are kind of straying away from the party stuff, but I mean, I'm sure that people, you know, that are writing party songs are making, you know, more money than ever. So yeah. I don't know. It's just all in what you feel comfortable with. If you want to be the lowly songwriter that writes really cool guitar, like really cool songs and plays in coffee houses, then do that.
Yeah.
If you want to be a beer drinking, swashbuckling pirate kind of guy who writes Buffett songs, then go do that and you'll probably make $1 million.
Yeah. Really? I don't know. It's easier said than done. Yeah. Easier said than done. Well, man, I think that's a good thing to think about, man. Not that you have to categorize yourself or anything, but think about, man, am I bringing the party? Can I expect to get big crowds and love it because I'm bringing a lot of fun, a lot of excitement? Is that what I'm doing? Or am I a virtuoso guitar player or keyboard player or just an amazing singer? Can I trade on that all by myself? I don't need to do the party. Most of us are going to fall in the category of neither one. If you say, man, I'm not Joe Party, I'm not a virtuoso. So what's in the middle? Man, it comes back to that word heart, man. You've got, then it's imperative that you get out there and just deliver, man. Yeah. I mean, on some other level, regardless. I mean, I always thought Springsteen, man, was not an exceptional singer, guitar player, or songwriter. Some people will beat me up for saying that, but I think it's true. And while he did have a party, because there's a lot of people at his gigs, early on he complained when he inducted Jackson Browne into the Hall of Fame, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Springsteen, that talked about how Jackson Browne had 300 girls at his shows.
Yeah.
He said, in my shows, we had 200 men.
Yeah.
He said, we just had no, we were up there kind of, it was like watching a football game, watching Springsteen and the E Street perform. He's jumping around, hurting himself on the stage, jumping off the piano, sweating, He said it was like watching a wrestling match, whereas Jackson Browne would sit there, never move, and look pretty with his long hair, and just singing, just these days. And the girls would just all be melting. Springsteen's like, man, we don't have any of that going on. And so Springsteen was a guy that exemplified that. Talking about live gigs again here. Maybe not a virtuoso guy, maybe not a party guy, but man, pure heart.
Heart, man.
Just heart. Just give it. You go, man, he gave it everything he had. And
solid,
that's what it comes down to. That's kind of what it comes down to.
Solid 3-hour show, And I heard somebody say they watched him, it was like 3 hours, and he stands on top of this grand piano, takes his shirt off, and like wrings the sweat out of it,
Right.
And I mean, you may not be the best guitar player, but if you make people believe that you're a good guitar player,
that's right,
if you make them believe in you and your songs or whatever, man, they'll be out there to watch you.
Yeah,
because
the heart, you say, man, that guy's just giving it all. He's just pouring it out for me out here.
Yeah.
And that's what the great ones do, man. No matter how well you play the guitar or sing, or bring the party. You got to bring the heart, man. That's it. If you just stand there and you're all pissed because your monitors aren't that good, go do something else because they're never going to be good. You just got to get up there and deliver. It's all about you and the audience.
Songs. You can't just self-destruct because there's something wrong going on in the live show. I mean, there's always going to be something wrong. There's been countless nights that my tone just wasn't there, But you can't let that get to you. You play the guitar maybe even harder, to try to squeeze that tone out that you're looking for. Or, your monitors, maybe you don't have any monitors, Or the microphone or the speakers are cracking or something, I mean, if you let that kind of stuff get to you, you're not cut out for this type of business.
It is. Yeah, that's right.
You need to get up there, and even if there's nobody at the show, if there's three people there, you play to those three people.
And you
got to
make the bartender say, man, it's a shame no one was here. That guy was great.
Yeah, and that's the best thing that can happen in shows like that.
Do that for 10 years, play for nobody, and then maybe something good will happen at some point.
Absolutely. And it's all about getting kicked in the teeth a couple
times.
That's
right, man. Well, that's some heart talk. The heart, man. You got to bring the heart, man. Don't have the virtuosity. Don't have the party. Fear not, but man, you gotta draw it up. You gotta show some guts, man. Give us all you got up there if you want to have a chance. Well, that's some live music talk, Zach. Thank you very much, man.
Oh, thank you.
Very, very cool. We're gonna get into the what's on P2's iPod here in our final segment, as we always do. Man, we got a lot of records to choose from our friend Ryan Adams. But we're gonna take a look at what's widely regarded as his best record, I would say. Maybe a couple others would campaign for that top role, but. Undeniably great, man. The great Heartbreaker. We'll talk.
Heartbreaker.
Take a look at that when we get back.
1, 2, 1, woo!
Young boy done me bad when it did you wrong. Young boy done me bad when it did you wrong. And I got high. Lord, I got high. Now I got a bone to pick with me.
fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. You're listening to the P2 Podcast. How you doing? I'm Phil Pritchett. Thanks for joining us here. We're sitting here in the, it's 112 outside or something. There in the Texas summer, 2009. But my nice, quiet air conditioning is just keeping it a nice 70 degrees in here. Come record here at Trinidad World Recording if you're a songwriter, band, or even just a hobby musician. We do it all. 817-733-5256. You can also call that number and book Phil Pritchett and the full band. Or email us, phil@philpritchett.com. Download all the Pritchett music at iTunes and p2tunes.com. With me today is Zach Huckabee. Thanks for being here, Zach.
Thanks, Phil, for having me, man.
You bet, man.
Appreciate
Zach's
it.
Record, Was It You, comes out July 31st, 2009, produced by yours truly here in Trinidad World Recording. That's me playing the Wurlitzer and the B3, etc.
And the harmony vocals.
Little harmony vocals, man. Little shaker, little tambourine. Fellas, you're going to want to hear that tambourine on that track, I'm telling you what.
They may sound like Zach as the harmony vocals, but it's P2.
Was it you, my precious bride?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Great.
Come on.
Great stuff.
Well, we played some of that record, man, on the last podcast. Enjoyed that very much, man. Listen to that again. We'll be hearing a lot more of it, certainly from our friends at RadioFreeTexas.org. Man, you know, we're hearing the what's on P2's iPod. I kind of throw it open to our guest, especially. Say, man, what would you like to listen to, speak about, that sort of deal? Of course, we covered our old friend Bob Dylan, man, did Desire last podcast. This time, a bit of a newer record. What year was that? Heartbreaker, Ryan Adams.
I think it was 2000.
Yeah, 2000. Produced by the great Ethan Johns, I believe, who's a great producer. Produced Ben Queller, the Jayhawks. Sort of, you know, he's got all the old gear. Let's guys just kind of play into one mic. Loosey-goosey. A lot of air, you know, just a couple mics on the drums. Old vintage gear. It's just got a great warm sound. What I love about Heartbreaker by Ryan Adams, of course you got all these great songs, is how quiet it is. It is not.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know if it was mastered per se. I think I heard maybe it wasn't mastered. Is that right? Have you ever heard something like that?
I don't know, man.
But I mean, when some of those tracks start, man, you can barely hear him just with his thumb kind of strumming the guitar.
Yeah.
Muttering, starting the vocal really soft. It's not slammed, man, like somebody.
My record.
Like the new Huckabee album is just loud as hell. But, you know, there's a lot of dynamic range in Heartbreaker.
Yeah.
Is what that is. It's just, man, parts of you got to turn up, parts of you got to turn down. A couple great songs on there. It's a record a lot of young guys about your age coming here that have picked up on.
Yeah.
And a lot of bands, Randy Rogers, guys play Ryan Adams songs. Kurt South, often covered. You know, I mean, you hear guys pick up on him. A great songwriter and really, you know, kind of a guy, a kind of an old school guy who comes from that old tradition of I write my own songs, sing my own songs. You get the sense he does them all a lot in one take, or he sings and plays at the same time. And you don't see a lot of that today, but I think that's what appeals to a lot of guys trying to write their own songs today. How'd you come across Adams originally?
Oh, actually, originally I came across him from this band called the Hog Mollies out of Lubbock.
Is that right?
Yeah. I had heard of him before, but you know, right by then I was a really huge Bob Dylan fan, and Rhodey, the lead singer of the Hog Mollies, he goes, Zach, he said, look, man, I know you're a big Dylan fan, but I think that Ryan Adams is our Bob Dylan.
Is that right? Yeah.
And I told Rhodey, I was like, I think you're full of crap. And he goes, no, man, seriously.
Check him out.
And they were up there playing their set, this before, and they were up there playing their set, and all of a sudden they start playing this song, and it was this kind of a haunting type song called Two.
Yeah.
And it's on Easy Tiger.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's about, you know, two people getting together or whatever. And it was just phenomenal. And it stopped me in my conversation. I looked at him, watched him play it, you know, and I asked him who did that, and they said it's Ryan Adams' song. So
I went. So this was recent. This is one of his recent records.
Yeah, Easy Tiger. Okay, yeah. And I went and picked that up, and then I came and we were, and I listened to it a little bit and didn't really turn me on, the whole record, just that one song really. And I, when we were recording the record here, I was staying with my buddy Stephen Beatty from Fort Worth based band Stella Rose.
Right.
And he had Ryan Adams' Heartbreaker just out of the sleeve, just tossed on the table.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, dude, what's this? And he said, oh, you can have that. I don't listen to it. And I put it in and I started listening to it.
Oh, man, yeah.
And it was just, man, blew my mind. So
back and forth.
What
great.
I'm saying is, if you are a songwriter and you don't have this record, you should definitely go buy it.
Yeah. Man, he's definitely, you know, it's always a stretch to compare anybody to Dylan or anybody for that matter. But he was one of those guys I heard a lot about, the press really fawned over, which immediately makes me think, like, yeah, what's the big deal? I'd come aware of him when he was with Whiskey Town, in his first band. And
which is a...
guy had, they had a couple good records, man.
Sure did.
And really, really cool, the girl singer. Her name escapes me right now.
I don't know
but
her name is,
yeah, but really great, different kind of stuff. There was kind of a, you know, and around that time you had like that first Sunvolt album, Trace, came out, which was awesome. And Whiskey Town was around the same time. There was kind of a little moment there, it seemed like, listening to KGSR, the really cool radio station in Austin where I was living, where there's a couple cool bands really came out. You know, out of Uncle Tupelo breaking up, you know, Wilco kind of had a new album, Sunvolt and Whiskey Town. I maybe I'm remembering that kind of wrong, but it kind of around that era, and I go, man, this is really cool stuff, man. There's a beauty to it, a darkness to it. It was very intriguing, man. Yeah. And then I lost track. I didn't know it was Ryan Adams or whatever. Man, when Heartbreaker came out, it was out for a while, and I really heard, like, you know, My Sweet Carolina on the radio. Yeah. It wasn't like, he wasn't like on the radio all the time though, man.
No.
I don't want to say.
That's not where
I heard it. You know, I heard it from people.
It would have been like
it
would have been like a college underground type thing.
Yeah.
He would have come out because I think the real breakout song on that record is To Be Young, and it was in Old School.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right.
One day when you're looking back, you know. And so his, you get high, you know, again with the getting high song. But anyway, it's a, I don't know, it's such a great record. I mean, like, just everything about it. I mean, if you like old gear, if you don't know what old gear sounds like, this record epitomizes old gear. From the, you know, if you listen to it and you've listened to a lot of Dylan, you're gonna think, man, this guy sounds exactly like Dylan, like at the beginning, because the intro to Be Young would sound like something off Highway 61.
Yeah, it really does.
And I mean, Sweet Carolina, My Winding Wheel.
Yeah, Winding Wheel.
Man, just, was it 4th Street Shakedown or something like that? Shakedown on 9th Street. There man, it's just a great. It's just a really
It runs the gamut. It's like Desire, any of these great albums. You know, it's got the rockers are just really, really good. And then the slow stuff is really, really good.
And the really cool thing about it is there's 15 tracks on the
record. Yeah, it's a big record. See, I have a hard time remembering what the titles of the songs are.
Yeah.
You know, they kick on, and I pick up, I'll start singing a harmony line to it.
Yeah.
Say, oh, what's this one called? I'm like, oh, God, I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah.
You know, but it's got Come Pick Me Up. That's a heartbreaker, isn't it?
Sure, heartbreakers,
You know, but he had a... one thing that's really overlooked, I think, Adams is always known as kind of the bad boy, you know, causing trouble.
Chain-smoking.
Yeah, getting in trouble with his record label. And he's had a lot of bizarre things in his kind of celebrity life, I guess you'd say. But, man, he is, in my opinion, man, one of the great rock singers, man, all time.
Sure.
You don't hear people talk about his voice a whole lot, but, man, he is dead on, man. And he's just the tone of his voice and his phrasing and his vibrato is very distinctive and very dead on, man. And you know, a lot of great songwriters have sort of weird, like a nasally voice or... You know, he's not as strong a singer. He's a songwriter, man. Yeah. He's a songwriter. And Adams benefits from having the best of both worlds, man.
Absolutely.
He has a great song. I mean, his delivery is just great. I think, again, with the slow stuff and with the rockers, man, he can really belt it out. Just, man, you sad. When you're young. Just, I mean, really at the top of his range. And then he can just whisper, man.
Yeah.
you know.
And just, you're sitting there like turning up the radio trying to figure out what it is.
I ended up game of love my life.
Oh, man.
Yeah, just, I mean, really down there.
Yeah.
And that's very unusual, man. Most guys can pull off one or the other, if at all. And he has a lot of talent in that range. The one knock I always heard on Adams was his live shows. A lot of his most ardent fans have come to me and said, man, I was really disappointed with his show. Now, I've had some guys have loved it. Some guys have hit him on a night where he just did everything great and played some requests or something. You know, they say, man, it was amazing. Certainly a guy kind of like Dylan, man, you know,
really?
That'll come out.
Yeah.
And flip off the crowd and play his whole new record and leave. You know? And you're just like, dude, I can't believe you didn't play anything off Heartbreaker. Didn't play anything off Gold. So he's, you know, guys like Neil Young, that's how those guys are, man.
Yeah,
man, that just comes with the territory.
They're just, and there was reports out here recently that he retired from the music business.
Oh yeah,
and I'm sure he'll come back in some other strange form. I know he's working on like a heavy metal record with like another band or whatever.
Well, he does crazy stuff on his website.
Yeah,
where he's just screaming into a camera
If you just want to get to know the guy, man, if you just really want to get to know some really good work, man, this record is the best.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because he's such an independent kind of underground type of guy. He's on Lost Highway Records, you know, the same thing that Willie Nelson's
on. Or used to be. I think he's off now.
Is he off now?
I think. I'm not sure.
I think he was on there for a while.
Oh, he was. He made it so
And,
work.
You know, he's married to Mandy Moore. Like, yeah, I mean, bizarre. Come on. You know? Like, where did that come from? But no, the guy is really, he's a genius, I think. I mean, he's just a wordsmith. He's a really good performer. I've seen him do some live stuff on YouTube. If you haven't done that, you should check him out. But his albums are very eclectic, very eccentric at times.
Yeah.
Easy Tiger is kind of like that. He has some weird songs. But, man, all in all, really great.
Well, it's good to see you last in the What's on P2's iPod. A couple weeks ago, we did The Last Waltz.
Yes.
An old film. Of course, the band's great last concert with Dylan and Neil Young and Van Morrison and everybody in the show. And I was talking about how guys like yourself, there seems to be a rebirth of that in recent years that like I hadn't seen. Mm-hmm. I'd always listen to that stuff. But most of the Texas country guys I'd run across or Texas music guys were just listening to the usual stuff.
I run into that still.
Right, sure. Yeah. I did too. But, man, you started hearing guys talk about The Last Waltz. I don't know what kind of word it started with.
Yeah.
But, man, it's interesting to know that Ryan Adams, as a modern guy, gets picked up on a lot, man. A lot of guys come in here. He's always the guy people point out.
Sure. I mean, he's just great. But it was funny that you say that, like, this kind of resurgence. This lady came up to me at a private party this weekend, and she's like, my son's 29, and he said, whenever you die or whenever you want to get rid of him, I want all your vinyl. And she goes, I guess that's the new fad. And I was like, that's a fad. I've been doing that for years.
It never went away, did it? Vinyl?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
And my man were like, man, you're kind of an ass today. And I was like, well, man, I'm sorry, man, but I mean, I always collected, you know?
Well, it's definitely, you got some other really good ones. Gold's really great, too, Ryan Adams. I think that's probably his biggest selling, most commercial kind of thing.
Yeah.
Really great songs on there too, man.
Sure,
love it. Love Goodnight Hollywood Boulevard. That's probably my favorite Ryan.
Is that
Adams
the one with
song.
The New York, New York?
Yeah, it starts off with that.
Yeah, yeah.
When the Stars Go Blue is on there.
Oh yeah,
man, he's got a ton. He's got a ton on there as well. Anyway, man. Of course, a lot of people probably already have Heartbreaker. But if you're kind of a country guy, say, hey, man, he's kind of a rocker, he's kind of a weirdo, man. Give Heartbreaker a chance, man. It's got
good.
Full of greatness. Fast rockers, great slow songs. I dare say he's one of the few guys that just has a good handful already off that record, Gold, and some of his some really, really great, great, great songs.
Oh, yeah.
That was done in recent years, man.
Yeah.
It's hard to find, man. I mean, there's a lot of cool bands coming out now, and they have hits and things, and he occupies a real rare space, man. He's occupied in a realm where he's free to create, but he also enjoys good crowds and some commercial success.
Sure.
As far as being able to reach an audience, which is usually a guy with his kind of talent, and what he does is usually sort of really obscure, you know, kind of, oh, he's a singer-songwriter, way off here.
Yeah.
But Adams has managed to transcend that and be a guy that people do know and is affiliated with being a current popular artist, you know.
And it's not a trend either.
No.
It's
not a trend. Not being like a superstar kind of guy.
It's not something that, you know, you're going to be like, oh, I'm going to be into him for like a year and then somebody else. It's like being into Dylan, you know. I mean, it's not a trend at all. I mean, you get into Ryan Adams and you constantly want to see what he's doing. You know, I mean, like, if
you're
I'm
curious.
Just saying, you know,
you
curious.
Are, yeah.
It's just like with Dylan, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of the newer stuff, you know, but I buy the records and I listen to him and I study him.
You
got to take him seriously.
You take him seriously.
It's not like these fly-by-night guys who are, you know, put out a really good song and then they're gone. You know?
The rest of the album's
people are talking
good.
Them up and they're on the cover. They're on the cover of Rolling Stones right next to the Gossip Girls and they're gone. But these people are going to be around for a long time, and you definitely have to take these guys serious, especially if you're going to do this for a living. So.
I also love the argument with his David Rollins about Morrissey. Very, very interesting on there. I'd read also that Ryan Adams did. He is a big Smiths fan, Morrissey fan. Man, if you ever listen to the Smiths, Morrissey, you know, just that melancholy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so miserable now. But a lot of the way Ryan Adams sings is Morrissey-esque on certain tracks. Very Smith-esque.
Yeah.
Which will probably go over the heads of maybe a lot of the young Texas guys who may not listen to Smiths. But that's something that really struck me on some of his most recent stuff. Really has a Smiths feel to it. Like, I mean, totally see the Morrissey aspect of it.
Word of advice to you guys, if you're sitting at home and you're kind of drinking by yourself and you're depressed, if you're going to put on one of these records, hide the guns. All right.
Very intense.
It's not happy music, you know.
No,
but
it's
good
not.
Music. It's just not very happy. So, I mean, if you're already depressed, just hide the guns and your shoelaces and just sit there and
That's
enjoy
right.
it, you know.
Well, man, Ryan Adams, Heartbreaker. Man, just a neo classic. It's just an instant classic album. It's something people will look back 10, 20, 30 years from now, I think, and still just pluck it out and say, man, that was just really, really great what that guy did on that album. I think so too. Ryan Adams, Heartbreaker, that's what's on P2's iPod and so many others today. Well, thanks for joining us again. Zach Huckabee has been here.
Thanks, Philip.
Visit him at zachhuckabee.com. The new record, Was It You, will be out July 31st. 2009.
Oh, yes.
Oh, man. All kinds of great stuff on there. Produced by yours truly, P2, here at Trinidad World Recording. Very proud to have been a part of that. Thanks for being here, Zach. Thanks to everybody listening out there on philpritchett.com and radiofreetexas.org. Check up with us, philpritchett.com. Email us, phil@philpritchett.com. Call us, 817-733-5256. Book Phil Pritchett and the full band, or come record at Trinidad. Thanks again, everybody. We'll see y'all at some shows out there soon. Take care.
Well, I went down to Houston and I stopped in San Antone. Well, I passed up the station for the bus. Trying to find me something, but I wasn't sure just what. Man, I ended up with pockets full of dust. So I went on to Cleveland, and I ended up insane. I bought a borrowed suit and learned to dance. And I was spending money like the way it likes to rain. Man, I ended up with pockets full of cane. Oh, my sweet Carolina, what compels me to go? Oh, my sweet disposition, may you one day carry me home. ain't never been to Vegas, but I gambled all my life. Building newsprint boats, I raced to Superman. Trying to find me something, but I wasn't sure just what. Funny how they say that some things never change. Oh my sweet Carolina, what compels me to go? Oh my disposition, may you one day carry me home. City, it feels like things are closing in. The sunset's just my light bulb burning out. Well, I miss Kentucky and I miss my family. All the sweetest winds they blow across the south. Oh my sweet Carolina, what compels me to go? Oh my sweet disposition, may you one day carry me home. May you one day carry me home.